Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So we had The Dark Knight Rises on here. I know it's a 7-year-old movie at this point. Who the hell cares? But it was on, so we're going to talk about it. And Chris loves it. I typically like all those Batman movies that were done by the Inception director there, right?
What the hell is his name? Christopher Nolan.
They're all good, but that last one's way too bloated, and Chris loves my stupid Bane impersonation. But you pointed out something that I can't stop thinking about in the last couple of minutes. And it makes all the sense in the world. Bane wasn't his motivations weren't revenge for Ra's al Ghul and trying to get back at Bruce Wayne and
Batman.
He
wasn't simply an anarchist.
No. He wasn't an angry terrorist looking for vengeance. He was a bitter incel is what he was. So his whole motivation, I can't believe I hadn't thought about this until just now. This is why you write for the Globe. This is why you're the smart one and one of my smarter friends. His motivations were for Talia al Ghul. He wanted to get with her. Everything bad that Bane did was for her. He was an angry incel. He was stuck.
Why am I stuck in the friend zone? Everything I've done, taking down Gotham, was for you. You tease, shaking that ass in front of my face. Everything that I've done, and you keep me in the friend zone.
That's why he was so angry. He saved her from that pit of hell that had DirecTV somehow. Because, again, when he puts Bruce Wayne down there with the broken back, and before he leaves the TV set on.
I've left you with DirecTV. 330-plus channels of premium content, including the NFL Direct Ticket. Watch all the games on Sunday. Even out-of-market games. Enjoy.
As he pushes on him. But no, it's right. It's true. Bane wasn't looking for vengeance. He was looking for that ass.
Yeah, totally. Everything he did. Yeah, destroyed an entire city. He wanted to, you know, what's the line that Alfred has?
Oh, yeah. Some men just want to see the world burn. No, as it turns out,
some men are just trying to get in their pants. Talia al Ghul, I saved you from that hell. Why won't you give it up? What does a man have to do?
He was an incel. And so where was the outrage at the time? All of you that are all upset about this Joker movie that are coming out. You can't watch it. It's going to make everyone, all the disaffected are going to be angry and they're going to shoot up the movie theaters. Granted, that's a real problem because we live in the dumbest time alive and every sad and angry person tries to take it out on society. The worst, I know. But the outrage already about this Joker movie, like, everybody calm down. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, I want to see the movie, but I can understand why people are nervous about, imitation there, sort of copycat, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's like coming out with the movie's bad for society because it's going to empower these people. Like, wait, please. Everyone's getting dumber by the day. It's unbelievable.
But now the whole movie makes a lot more sense, though, when you really think about it. Yeah, he's just trying to impress a girl.
As it turns out, some men just want to see the world burn. No, as it turns out, Bane really was just trying to get in their pants.
I could listen to you reenact that entire movie.
I was born in it. Anger. Molded by it. Being frustrated. Talia al Ghul. All tarted up. Flirting with Bruce Wayne. But it should be me. Here, let me try calling Talia right now. Oh, it's a busy signal. She must be trying to call me.
She's not, Bane. She's not. All right, back to the Celtics. Many of you still hanging want to talk about Kyrie and his bloated press conference yesterday. He's now Brooklyn's problem. Ryan in Grafton, you're next here on Casper Murray. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks, guys, for taking my call. It is Brooklyn's problem. I'm glad that he's gone because the Celtics basically had the same feeling as the Red Sox this past year had. It's just not a good feeling, but a lot of potential, but no heart. This year, though, like I said, the focus is on all of them. I know there was some injuries in the summer with Tatum and Smart. But this year, it's either going to hopefully go the right way, or if not, it's going to be on Danny Ainge. He'll be on the hot seat because, it's been a while now. And, they need to do something. I mean, if Hayward does play half decent and maybe other people struggle, maybe try to trade him. But, it depends on how they do, obviously. But, we're running out of time here is the way I look at it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's a great point. And, B-Rob can chime in on this, too. I mean, they have some decisions to make in terms of who you're going to pay, who you're going to keep. What are you going to do? Are you going to pay Jaylen Brown?
What did he say the other day? He wants the 5 years, $175 million. And it's the Ben Simmons contract that's kind of set that precedent. Yeah. So I guess he can make a case. But that seems ridiculous.
But he's not Ben Simmons.
It is. Murray, too, got that same deal, which is nuts.
Yes. Yeah, but Jamal Murray is really, really good. Speaking of Kyrie moments, when he threw the ball into the stand, Jamal Murray's out there trying to hang more points on the Celtics.
Peter in Jamaica playing on Gordon Hayward. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, hi. I don't know why. The conversation is always in Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and Kemba. Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's ceiling is nothing like what Gordon Hayward is in Utah. And everything we've been talking about is how well, the players have been raving about Gordon Hayward. And my big three going forward will be Hayward, Kemba, and Tatum. Way, way more than Brown, Tatum, and Hayward, Kemba. So I would trade Jaylen Brown. And it's not going to cost you that more to sign If Jaylen Brown wants the max, give Gordon Hayward the max. He's a much better basketball player. We need him.
Thanks for the call, Peter.
Yeah, if he can get back to what he was. That's sort of the question, right? I feel like we were hearing some of the same things last year around this time. Oh, Gordon looks so good. And I know he's been around all summer. He's definitely dedicated. We'll see if he can get back to who he was. But one of the defining moments of the season for me, and I can't remember which game of the series it was. I want to say it was game three, though, against Milwaukee. He has Brooke Lopez baseline and a switch one-on-one, and he tries to go by him baseline once, can't do it, turns around. Tries to go back by him again, can't do it. Finally backs it out, passes the ball, and you can just see the look of resignation on his face. Yeah. Like, I can't get past this guy now. This is who I am. And I just think it broke him. I just think he was broken last year by his inability to play the way he had played in the past. And there were some games he was really good, that Golden State game and all that other stuff. But when you look at it overall, the jury's still out whether he can get back physically to being the player he was in Utah. If he gets back to that, I'm on board because I love that player.
Your body has betrayed you, Hayward. Kind of like how Talia has betrayed me. Why is she always with Bruce Wayne? I'm the better man. I saved her from that pit of hell. She should be with me. Hold on, let me try calling her again. Ooh, a busy signal. She must be trying to call me.
Nope, it's never the case, Bane. It's sadly never the case. She's on the phone with someone else.
Just waiting. I can just see Bane. I know she's 2012, but just waiting for that text bubble to pop up that says you're getting a response.
She's muted me. That stuck-up bitch. Everything I've done.
It's at Bane's an incel. It took us years, 7 years to figure it out. There was no uproar at the time, but now we figured it out this whole time. It wasn't about revenge and trying to get back for the death of Ra's al Ghul and trying to get back at Bruce Wayne and Batman.
What was the whole thing? You know the whole thing. I was like born in the dark or whatever. You should just swap dark for virginity.
I was born in virginity. I'm born a virgin. Molded by my angry virginity. I've been trying to get it out for so long. I want you to give it up, Talia. Look at how many I've killed and imprisoned. And you still just prefer another man.
Mike in Wakefield. Should go back to the Celtic conversation.
Just do the whole show this way.
Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you for taking my phone call.
Go ahead.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, no more loud exhaust, Jim Murray. No more giving you a headache over the headphones.
Oh, all right. I know who you are. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. New car. I think that Gordon Hayward's a pretty good facilitator, and even if he doesn't come back to 100%, he could still be about 60%, 70% of what Al Horford was. That allows Kemba a little bit of freed up space to play his ISO game and a similar style to Kyrie in the ISO fashion. I mean, obviously not the same talent, but it was obviously a Kyrie style didn't kill the team. It was his attitude. And I think that, you know, with Gordon Hayward having the ability to maybe be the main facilitator on the court most of the time, he proved last year that even at, you know, 60% of what he was, he still distributed the ball quite well. He's got good vision. And you know, hopefully he comes back to what he was, and that would, I mean, that would be better than Horford. So I'm not too worried like most people are, and I kind of write off the whole, you know, basketball World Cup crap, because I don't think that stuff's really important to those guys. I think they're really focused on the season and just kind of trying to get their rhythm together as a team. So I don't think it's going to be as bad as most people do. I look forward to a pretty good season. I'm glad Kyrie's gone. So that's pretty much all I got. I'll take you guys off the radio.
Thanks, Mike. That's kind of how I feel about it. Like, is their ceiling very high? No.
So now you're buying into this edition of the Bridges.
No. I'm going to enjoy this season.
Okay.
Because honestly, it was like by Thanksgiving, I was like, I think I hate this team. And that was, what, a month and a half in, really? Like when you're losing at home to the Knicks and getting waxed by a time and again. They lose to Phoenix, I think, around just Christmas time, too. It was like, I hate this team, and they're not going to get it figured out. And then I felt like I might have had to eat crow that first game against Milwaukee, and then, no, we were all proven right again. The writing was on the wall at that point. So, at the very least, I think you're going to get I've been saying this for a while, this year's Celtics team. Are they going to win a championship? No. Will they go a couple of rounds? I'd like to think so. But at the very least, you'll be able to tune into the Celtics this year on a random Wednesday night in February and watch them play whoever, and you'll get max effort like you did a handful of years back with the Bridges, who I was too hard on. And that's all I can ask for at this point. Like, I don't expect them to win a championship, Chris, but just give me a good product, especially if I'm going to the game and if you're paying for tickets. Like, how many times did you, especially for season ticket holders, like, I wouldn't be surprised that some season ticket holders, like, sent, you know, angry emails last year. Because I can understand if you felt ripped off because you didn't get that. You didn't get max effort out of on paper, extremely talented team. And, yeah, they ultimately were overhyped. But there were nights they completely didn't even show up. And if you're a paying customer, like, that's a slap in the face. So at least I think you will get max effort night in, night out from this collection, this new group of players this year. 617-779-0985, you want to join us? Okay, like I said, it's been a dumber than usual week in sports. This is what I started the show off talking about. Both locally, nationally, everywhere, nonstop stupidity. And perhaps the stupidest team of all, the Red Sox. The clandestine press conference yesterday, we'll touch on this. Oh, and then being all upset about a drop pop-up that allowed Mike Minor to get 200 strikeouts. We'll touch on this collection of frauds coming up next here on Gasper and Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What changed quickly was right after the World Series, we had preliminary talks about our way forward, and it was clear to me that we weren't on the same page at that point. In fact, he and I talked about it that night. That Sunday evening, I think he disagreed with me about that we disagreed. He disagreed. We're even disagreeing, you might say, that we disagreed. So there was a difference, I think, in how we thought we should move forward.
You know, upon hearing that for like the fifth time, and that's Red Sox primary owner John Henry yesterday at the press conference with no cameras, it actually makes sense why there's no cameras, because he's clearly not that comfortable trying to talk about what happened between he and ownership and Dave Dombrowski, who got fired like basically a month ago, and now they're finally talking about this thing yesterday at this clandestine press conference over at Fenway Park. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. He's just, I don't know. Like, that is so disingenuous. That's just nothing but a word salad. Like, we disagreed and he disagreed. We were disagreeing to disagree. Just be honest. Like, my takeaways from this yesterday, Chris, and I don't know if you've heard all the audio or just read about it at this point.
I mostly read about it.
Yeah, but they want, so they want to get under the $208 million tax threshold next year. So I hear that Mookie Betts is gone. They're obviously going to be a worse team next year, but I kind of was expecting that anyway. That's going to be a bridge year for the Red Sox, no matter what's going to happen here, whoever they bring in as a new GM. Speaking of which, coming away from that press conference, I don't think they have a clue who the next GM is going to be. And they're unsurprisingly afraid to offend anybody in the process. Like, you hear a clip like that, and it's just like, okay, just be honest. Like, can you be upfront about it? Like, you had some disagreements with Dave and Dombrowski. It wasn't going to work, and move on. Don't try to, like, couch it by saying, like, well, he disagreed and I disagree, but we were having disagreements about the disagreements. Like, what are you talking about? Why do they have to put a positive spin on everything? But either way, some of your thoughts from this press conference yesterday, and now that this god-awful season is coming to a close here in the next couple of days, thankfully, is this one of the more underachieving, unlikable teams in Boston sports history?
Ooh, definitely one of the more underachieving. I don't know if I cared about them enough to say they're unlikable, to be honest. I mean, sort of from the beginning. I think it's a team.
That might be the worst thing you can feel as a sports fan. I've believed that for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
At least you felt something if you hated them. Like the 2011 team, you hated them because they were such underachieving frauds. And they were such, they were so obtuse about it, certain guys. You know, obviously the whole chicken and beer thing. So, but this, like people, I think, shrugged and didn't care about this team as far back as the trade deadline. Because they just quit.
Well, also because they just seemed to be completely unwilling to acknowledge some of their shortcomings. And it was Cora constantly doing callbacks to last season and the idea they had it all figured out. And in some ways, I feel like this season was a necessary humbling for the organization. You know, because again, it was sort of this narrative of we're not turning the page. It's another chapter and all this. You know, we have the magic bullet for, you know, eternal success. It's like, actually, you don't. What I hear when I listen to this press conference is, I think they want it all, and if I'm a GM candidate, I'm looking at this and saying, these are my bosses, and they're not realistic. You have to tell me what your priorities are. What are the priorities? And give me the order. Because it sounds like the top billing for you is to reset the luxury tax, contend for a championship, and re-sign Mookie Betts, and those are all equal, and they cannot all happen. It can't be done. So if I'm one of the candidates here, this would make me less likely to be interested in this job because I would be saying, this is an organization that has not fully come to grips with where they're at, and they want to accomplish things, but they don't want to make any sacrifices to do it.
They can't get out of their own way. It really has felt like this for a while. And so this next GM will be, what, the fourth in the last 11 years? Is that what it is?
Fourth since 2011. So go back to that Theo's last year.
So is it that? Is it as attractive a job as, I don't know, we make it out to be because this is still one of the marquee franchises in Major League Baseball?
I think it is. If you, just in a vacuum, general manager, president of baseball operations of the Boston Red Sox, yes, as Tom Werner said, it's a very attractive job. The problem is the circumstance that they're in. And again, if you're going to set unrealistic expectations for what needs to be done, it's like, on the one hand, you have John Henry, and I appreciate his honesty saying we need to reset the luxury tax. I happen to agree with him. I think they need to reset the thing. But then on the other hand, Werner's like, well, you know, really, it's more of a preference. It's not a mandate. And it's like, well, which is it? Like, again, if you're working for them, which thing am I supposed to believe? Like, you have to reset it and you've known for the last couple of years you have to get under? I'd say, okay, I know what I have to do. Okay, are you guys willing to swallow a year where maybe we finish third again? Oh, no. Well, okay, well, which is more important to you? Because I can win, but we might not be able to reset the luxury tax. Or I can reset the luxury tax for you and we can attempt to win, but the odds won't be as good. And I think they just have to sort of accept, like, you're not going to become, and I've been writing this, and I the one thing I was heartened by was the fact that they want to look outside the organization, and that Werner was referencing the fact that there are teams with half their payroll, like the Rays and the A's, who are two bottom five payroll teams in MLB that are in the playoffs. So at least they recognize that. I think that's a good thing, right? That's good. But I think the bad part of it is you have to be willing to accept the fact that you're not going to become as efficient as the Rays or A's overnight. It's going to be a process. You can't just snap your fingers and say, well, here's a new GM. Okay, now we're as efficient as the Rays. Our farm system is fertile. We're good to go. We're going to cut all this payroll, and we're going to get rid of JD Martinez and Mookie Betts and be a contender. That's asking a lot.
Now, you know how important the top of the fold is on a sports page as a writer for the Boston Globe sports page, Chris. And your colleague Alex Speer had that in terms of, you know, potential GMs they could bring in. And they had old friend Theo Epstein written about there from Alex. Top of the fold just a couple of days ago. And then later that day, Theo's asked about it out in Chicago, and he poured water all over it. Do you take him at his word?
I do take him at his word. I'm not saying that means that he's not coming. I just think that when he was asked about it that day, that's where he's kind of, it could be like a Kyrie thing. You know, when Kyrie pledged to stay here, that's how he felt at the time and in the moment. things can change. Excuse me, things can change, like my voice, apparently. But I think when you look at it, he has a close relationship with Sam Kennedy. I think he would be an ideal candidate for them. And I've said this repeatedly. If they're not going to get the Theo, I don't want off-brand Theo. I'm done with that.
So
I'm
you don't
done
want
with
Jed
that.
Hoyer?
No, yeah. I don't want Jed Hoyer. Maybe I would have tolerated Mike Hazen because he's gone out on his own and proven he can kind of do some of the things they want to do in Arizona. They got rid of Paul Goldschmidt this year. They let A.J. Pollock walk, and they still were a competitive team, relatively speaking. So Hazen maybe, but other than that, sort of the rest of the off-brand Theos and the Theo disciples and the leftovers that are sort of, you know, there from Theo's regime that are still with the team, I'm not interested in having anybody like that run the team. Go outside and look, get somebody from the Astros, the Indians, the Dodgers, the Rays, the A's, all the teams in baseball that have surpassed you when it comes to the brain game in Major League Baseball. Go get, you need to get outside of your baseball social circle at this point and get a fresh look at this organization and kind of reset it, reboot it, you know, do sort of like a soft reset here.
Well, I don't know how many of you are still watching the games as they're playing out the string here. Well, I've been playing out the string for like 2 months, but a few days back in the series in Texas, something happened that I thought was the funniest thing that happened in sports all week. Because we're talking about some of the dumbest things in sports, it was the reaction to this thing that I found funny. We'll get to that next after the Sports Hub headlines with Tim McCone.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a play for Guzman. And foul ground, and it's going
to
drop.
He told him to drop it.
Yeah.
Unless that ball got in the sun, this was on purpose.
Mm. Yep, just gave up on it.
Don't catch it. You hear him? You see his mouth move? Don't catch it.
No play. No error charged. One and two. And that's going to be in there for strike three. So he gets number 200 after they allowed the pop-up to fall in. And here comes the manager. So first career 200 strikeout season for him. And he'll get high fives on the mound.
I'm just happy our guys are playing the game the right way. We're playing hard till the end. You saw the effort, and that's what it's all about. You know, we had a goal set in mind. It didn't happen. It's been, you know, 2 weeks that we've been eliminated. But, you know, we've been going, you know, going at it the right way, and that's all I ask. You know, it does. I don't manage the Rangers.
A little blur from Red Sox manager Alex Cora. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So know this about me: if it's not the teams that I like that I'm rooting for, I only root for one other thing. Well, two other things in sports: sports Schadenfreude, the pain of others, the tears of others, and comedy and chaos. And I feel like personally, I got comedy and chaos in spades with what happened with this worthless Red Sox Rangers game from a couple of days ago, where at the end of the game, I think it was in the eighth inning.
It was the ninth inning.
Rangers starter Mike Minor yelled at third baseman in foul territory.
First baseman, sorry.
In foul territory, hey, drop that pop-up so I can get my 200th strikeout. That's ultimately what happened. They purposely dropped the pop-up so that Mike Minor could get his worthless 200th strikeout. I don't even know how much that even matters. And now the game is nothing but home runs and strikeouts. But be that as it may, a lot of people found that Bush League, as did Alex Cora apparently, because he said after the game when he was asked about it, we play the game the right way. These bitchy underachieving frauds. You do when you're sitting on pitch after pitch, so you make sure that your games go four and a half hours on average. They had literally the longest average length of game this season, a season in which they're not making the playoffs again, a season in which they, from day one at spring training, were still stuck in the past of last year, and it was a monumental achievement, obviously, last year in their World Series championship run. But I just found this so rich. And, oh, some of the whining from the beat people that cover this team, too. Like, oh, how dare the Rangers. First of all, like, oh, get over it. Like, is it Bush League? Fine. Does it really bother you that much in a game that ultimately doesn't matter? These two teams are trying to play out the string. Like, oh, you big, stupid babies. I just found it so damn funny.
I mean, I'll be honest. I found it somewhat hypocritical, given the way they had treated things with Eduardo Rodriguez and trying to get him closer to 20 wins two games earlier.
Too.
I mean, that was my whole issue with it. And look, I think in both situations, you had teams prioritizing a pitcher who's well-liked on the team and his individual accomplishment over preserving the win. Now, the Red Sox had a bigger lead, but in terms of getting Rodriguez the five innings he needed to qualify for that win, they were willing to risk potentially being in a situation to lose that game. I mean, it ended up, it was 12-7 in the fifth, and he had a 12-5 lead. He gave up a two-run homer. There were two guys on base, and he's facing a batter when Vasquez threw out the catcher. He could have given up a three-run homer there. Then all of a sudden, it's 12-10. in the fifth inning. Like, there's no way in a regular season game where they had the opportunity to do anything that Cora would have left him in. So, yeah, it's a little different, but overall, it's both managers, it's both teams prioritizing this pitcher's individual accomplishment over doing what gives them the best chance to win. And I thought Mike Minor actually had a pretty good point when he was asked about it. He's like, well, why are they upset? We're actually giving them a better chance to win.
It's right.
Like, you have a problem with it? Take advantage of it.
Right, you don't like it. Get a hit.
Take the guy yard, which Chris Owings had done earlier in the game. You know, don't complain about them dropping the pop-up. And this just, to me, this is a larger issue, like, with baseball, which is that baseball, for me, is an individual sport at its core. It really is. You know, I understand there are team aspects to it. I get it. There are 25 guys in the roster. But a lot of the core, the soul of baseball, is about the individual and individual accomplishment. And I think in both these cases, you can see that. So when I look at it, I feel like it's just kind of hypocritical of the Red Sox. You don't like it. I get it. That's fine. But the reality is you're out there doing basically the same thing. Is it as egregious? No. Is it as blatant? No. But you're out there playing the game to get a guy a stat. And that's exactly what the Red Sox did with Eduardo Rodriguez and exactly what the Rangers did with Mike Minor.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, that I find hypocritical is how they celebrated Chris Sale's 300 strikeouts a couple of seasons back, and then, like, they're going to get all howdy about this. Like, oh, please, get out of my face with this. You know how happy I am that this season's coming to a close. Oh, my God.
Well, they were still talking about it yesterday, you know.
Were they really?
Like Cora talked about it. It was the lead to the Globe's Red Sox notebook.
Oh.
Yeah, there were more comments on this. Like, they just can't.
They can't get over it.
I mean, you know, Cora eventually was basically said, like, he wanted to move on, but it still was, like, the lead to the notebook. So they were still discussing this yesterday. You know, it's like they just can't let it go. Here's a headline. Red Sox still vexed about Rangers allowing foul pop to drop. Yeah. I mean, they're still discussing it. Still talking about it yesterday. I guess Chris Woodward, the manager of the Rangers, had said he was going to reach out to Cora, and apparently he did not. So that didn't happen. That was Cora said he has my number. Quote.
Ooh. Well, that's on brand for how they've acted all year. Bitchy, underachieving fraud. So I'm not that surprised.
There's no messages.
Ooh. Oh God. I'm so happy they're out of my life now. And then I get to get out at 6 o'clock. Oh. It's like the kid got let out of prison. You have no idea. Let's go to, I don't know if I buy this, Kane in Chicago on the Red Sox GM search. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's up?
So I think the Sox handled the Dombrowski situation the worst way possible. And you look at teams like Milwaukee and what David Stearns has done there. I mean, half the payroll. Do you bring in somebody like that, or do you try and get his right-hand man? I just think they need to get somebody who can produce right away.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying. Milwaukee's another team. Yes, put them on the list. But again, the idea of sort of producing right away, if you're this is like a big yacht that you need to turn in a different direction. Like, it's going to take a little time. Like, I don't know how quickly they can pivot in a direction of the Brewers, the A's, the Rays, the Indians, these other teams. I mean, even the Astros. The Astros obviously have resources that are more considerable than those other teams. For me, here's the model, Jim. The model is, and I know they haven't won a World Series yet, but the Dodgers. The Dodgers have sustainable contention every year. And Andrew Friedman came from Tampa Bay, and he's melded and blended the best of big market baseball and the best of small market baseball. The Dodgers have a ton of resources. They can go out and sign guys. They sign A.J. Pollock in the offseason. But then they also have guys like Walker Buehler who come up through their system who are really good. They've brought this kid Gavin Lux up to fill a hole at second base. They don't just dump all their prospects, but they have money to burn when they need to. And ideally, that's where the Red Sox need to be. I just don't think it's going to happen through one offseason. I think that's incredibly unrealistic. And if that's what ownership expects, that's being unrealistic. If that's what the fan base expects, that's being unrealistic. And I think you're going to be in for a rude, rude awakening.
What's your World Series pick? Who do you got?
Well, I think it could be Houston and the Dodgers again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want the Dodgers to win it this time. I don't want them to be the Buffalo Bills of baseball and go to 3 World Series in a row and lose.
I feel like that cockroach Cardinals team's going to make it.
No, I don't want
that's
that.
That's a team. Even if they miss a year or two, every few years you look up and, like, there they are again. They're the cockroach team in sports. Go away. My whole life, the St. Louis Cardinals just happen to, like, be there, win a title or two here and there, like, every few years. Oh,
I don't even know how they're doing. I mean, they've had some really good young pitching.
Their bullpen's awesome.
Yeah, and the bullpen's pretty good. Well, they gave it up the other night. Andrew Miller, old friend, gave it up the other night. But I look at their team, and I'm like, well, Matt Carpenter's having a crap year. Like, I'm like, who are these guys that they're throwing out there? I don't even, I mean, obviously they have Ozuna and Goldschmidt and whatever. I don't want to make this Cardinals talk. But I look at their roster and their players and the years guys are having, and I'm like, how are they doing this?
Yeah, that's like that, was it, 06, the year that they like,
yeah, they won like 85 games.
Yeah, and they still won the World Series and beat Detroit. Who was running that team at the time? Oh, that's right, Dave Dombrowski. Let's wrap with Ed and Whitman. You'll be the final call here on Gaspar Murray today. Hey, Ed.
It's actually Bane.
Ah, yes. Yes, Ed. Hello, go ahead.
I have two takes and a thank you. The thank you is understanding. I was horny, and she had a lovely, lovely voice. John Henry, I wonder what would break first, his mind or his body?
Very good, Ed. Thank you very much.
Not bad, Ed.
That was pretty good.
Not bad. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. I liked it. Yeah. We got sidetracked because the seven-year-old movie, Dark Knight Rises, was on today, and we realized, it was Chris that realized, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. It wasn't revenge that Bane was actually looking for. He was just an angry incel.
Just wanted to get out of the friend zone.
He wanted to get out of the friend zone with the daughter of Ra's al Ghul, yeah, who he helped raise and take out of that hell prison that was in the ground.
But it's like, you know, how do you have it? It's like anything, right? You're a guy. You want to impress a young lady. What do? You got to get her attention. So you hold the whole city hostage.
Whatever it takes, just please notice me. I was born in the dark. You know what else I've had to do in the dark? Because I'm so lonely. Why did you sleep with Bruce Wayne? It should have been me. Oh, so lonely.
All right, we'll wrap with five questions for Chris Gass. We got nothing to do with sports. Next.
Gaspar and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gaspar of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five, one, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, five questions for Chris Gaspar. Got nothing to do with sports. That's how we try to wrap up the show each and every week. And let's jump right in. Big news locally this week, Chris. Charlie Baker banning the vapes, both of the tobacco and THC variety for the next 4 months. Vapes verboten. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't vape, but obviously you see these stories about this sort of epidemic around vaping, and I think if it's a public health crisis, don't you think it's sort of the responsibility of the governor to step in and try and protect people from themselves?
No, I hate the nanny laws. How many people are now dead from the vape?
I thought it was in the 60s.
Oh, it's not that high. Hold on. Vape deaths. 13 vaping related deaths.
Maybe it's 60 people hospitalized.
Okay, maybe it's that high. But so, I don't know. Like, let's do the math. How many, let's say 1 million people vape. 13?
Yep.
Don't ask me to do the math and the percentages there, but that feels like a kind of a low number. And some of these, the crap vape that's being made in bathtubs by shady people, I feel like this is the vape that's actually affecting these people. Now, I'm not a vapor, so I don't really care. But nanny laws, get my backup.
I know they do.
You know, as a whole. And so here's the thing. You know, the only thing that this makes me feel is I wish I owned a vape shop in like Salem, New Hampshire, because they're going to be raking in money right now because people hate this, and that the people that were vaping that had taken themselves off of cigarettes and everything else over the last couple of years, if they now like this and they enjoy it and they haven't noticed any ill effects in terms of their health, and now you just go give money to New Hampshire now. Man, they're going to be raking it in. I'm jealous of those people. All right, question number two. Changing lanes in traffic will apparently only save you 4 minutes or less, Chris.
Oh, that's a lie.
Do you change lanes a lot while driving?
I do. I change lanes quite a bit. I do use the signal light, though. I do. And It's like a quarterback in a 2 minute drive, Jim. Take the space that they're giving you.
I like it.
That's my theory. Take the space that they're giving you. That's a lie. That's not scientific.
I don't buy that either. That's big traffic trying to help you, make you be a better driver and stay in the lane and just obey. And that's something I will never, ever do. I don't believe that at all. I think it can save you multiple minutes into the double digits every single time. I'm always going to change lanes. Drive like you own the roads. That's the way you got to drive.
And then the other reason is you can change lanes because the person in front of you is driving very slowly. And if you just change lanes to get around that person, a lot of times it totally opens up.
I was just as an aside, don't consider this the third question, but like, what's the max you would pay for like a super express lane so that you guaranteed never have to stay in?
For my life or like a monthly basis?
Daily.
Daily? Every day? I'd pay like $500 a day. I don't even know if I could afford that, but I would, whatever, yeah, whatever it takes.
There's days that I would go that high. Like the other night where we got like a trickle of rain, was that Thursday night?
Yes. I had to drive to Rhode Island for that to see Christian Amanpour speak, and it was brutal.
I $500. Like, fine. Just take it out of my easy pass. I'll worry about it later. There's certain days and nights that it's so unbearable, then fine. Whatever. I'll pay whatever.
I'm with you.
Question number three. What is something you have tried once, but you will never try again? Like, say, the ginger that comes with sushi, going to Salem.
That's a good question.
During Halloween, anything like that.
I can't really remember. I'll tell you once. This is something I tried. I'm not really a big ride person. You know, I get the motion sickness. And so once my uncle convinced me to go on the, like, King Kong ride at Universal. And he was like, oh, there's not really that much, like, motion. And my one thing is, like, up and down motion. Like, my stomach, like, I'll go down and my stomach's still up. The whole thing was King Kong picking up, you know, your, like, ride pretty much and shaking it up and down, up and down, up and down. And I was like, this is torture. So I will never get on that ride again. And I really won't do, like, I don't really do rides now because of that.
I wouldn't have thought this, but now you've just rides. I'm like, I used to be a ride guy.
Yeah.
And now it was a trip to Canobie Lake in the early 2000s with my then girlfriend, and I was hungover as all hell, but I was just trying to be the good boyfriend. I was like, fine, we'll go to Canobie Lake.
Yeah, you were pulling a Bane.
And I went,
whatever it takes. I'll do whatever. Just drop them.
I went on like a kid, one of the centipede ride.
Oh, centipede! Yeah,
I wanted to die afterwards. It was a projectile vomiting as an adult, and you know, going on a kid's ride. Like, and after that, I tapped out on rides forever. Whether they're the fancy roller coasters, the up and down rides, like you talk about, it just I hate them. I now hate rides. I hate amusement parks. It ain't happening.
We're olds.
Right. So never again. Question number four. Chris Gasper, if you had to flee your house in an emergency,
yes.
What three things would you grab first? Like, say the whole thing was...
Oh, have I had to? Okay. What three things would I grab first?
It's burning down. You got to get out of there. What are you saving? Is it like photos? Is it...
That's a great question. I don't even know. I don't know. Probably some of my Florida State memorabilia. I'd have to grab that real quick. Definitely want to make sure I have the wallet. And probably, you know, phone and all that. Maybe. Oh, wait. Who's listening? Definitely my wedding photo. Yes, my wedding photo. That would be the first thing I would grab. Yes.
Anything of importance I keep in a safe that I've had since I was a kid.
Oh, interesting.
I would grab that safe and the cats and obviously have, you know, the lady with me and would get out of Dodge. But other than that, like, I don't know. I'm not sentimental about, like, junk I've bought. Like, all my sentimental crap's basically in the safe.
I'm very attached to things, as my wife always points out. Like, I get upset if I, like, lose a pen I've been using. Like, every pen I've ever owned is my lucky pen.
Final question, Chris. The climate change protesters who closed off the bridge to the seaport yesterday, and protesters in general, who jam up traffic. Your thoughts on this type of, when they really jam up the traffic.
Like, I almost feel like I should cede my time to you, because I know how you feel, because I saw your tweet.
Well, it's just this. And I get, fine. I'm not, climate change real. I just feel like we've hit the tipping point, so nothing we can do. But
I mean, you don't recycle, so they were protesting you, so you kind of deserve
it. You're literally protesting me, yes. Yeah. Hashtag one big bag, that's never going to change. But here's just my thought on it, more than anything else. The greatest gift you can give to another human being isn't friendship or love. It's the gift of not inconveniencing them. That's it. It's the greatest gift you can give to another human being. Case in point, I wish I could tell my neighbors this in Melrose today, where I live. Do you know what's happening in Melrose today?
No, what's happening in Melrose today?
It's Porch Fest, Chris.
Oh, we have Porch Fest in JP, so I feel your pain.
That's a great idea. So for those of you that live in communities that don't have the hell that is Porch Fest, think of your neighbors who aren't professional musicians playing their bad music on their porch all day long while the children yell and scream.
And other people come through your town and fill it up with traffic to see them perform.
It's great. So, that should be the life lesson there, folks. So you do your protesting, fine. You want to change the earth, the world, great. Do it on your own time and don't do it and gum up the traffic. Don't inconvenience other people. That's it. Hey, Chris, always a pleasure.
This was a fun show.
Yeah, Chris Gasper for him. Catch him tomorrow morning starting at what, 10?
Yes, 10 a.m.
10 o'clock with Mark the Beat of
Howl with the Moon.
At Howl with the Moon down in Foxborough for the Patriots pregame, as they'll have Patriots Bills kickoff at 1. I'll be on the postgame with Beatle at Howl the Moon down in Foxborough. Thanks to Brian Robb, who produced the show today, and Tim McCone as well. We have Joe Murray coming up next. Is that correct? Joe Murray and Sean Silver?
It appears to be so.
Is Joe in traffic or is he here?
No, I've seen him. He's here.
I was in traffic quite a bit.
No, I've seen
no
Joe.
Protests Joe's here. Today that I know of.
No, it's just because nobody else knows how to drive. So again, that's the inconveniencing thing. Rather than slowing down, just go. Go. There's really, when you think about it, there's really no reason for traffic. Just go. Just go. Stop looking around. What's happening? Just go. Hey, have yourself a good weekend. Hope to talk to you tomorrow, maybe in the postgame with Beadle, or Monday with Felger and Mazza too. Goodbye.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.